Howdy, folks, and welcome to the Hunting Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Michael, and today we hear from another amazing female hunter, Ashley Vaughn. Ashley Vaughn is out of Cody, Wyoming, and she comes from hunting. Her grandpa was an outfitter, her dad was an outfitter, and frankly, she's done more hunting than I have in my entire life, and she's only in her mid-20s. So I don't want to steal too much of her thunder, but I want to thank Ashley very much for jumping on the podcast. And now, everyone, let's go ahead and let Ashley tell you her stories. All right, Ashley, welcome to the Hunting Stories Podcast. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing better now that you're here. I was telling you, obviously, before the show, I think I start every episode off with, I was telling you before the show, it's hard to find female hunters that are willing to come on and tell stories. So thank you very much for jumping on. I'm really excited to hear the stories that you have. I've obviously looked at your Instagram. Looks like you do way more hunting than I do. It's very impressive. So why don't we, of course, so why don't we start things off with you, like, introducing yourself to the listeners?
Yeah. So I was born in Wyoming, raised in Wyoming, and my grandpa was actually an outfitter. So I was lucky enough to be born into such a great hunting family. My dad loves hunting. My whole entire family just does it. And so I grew up doing it. I grew up fishing. I grew up camping as much as we all could. And it's just become the greatest passion in my life, honestly, because that's awesome. I get to do it with all my family members and just create these amazing memories with them that I just can't see myself doing anything else. So, yeah.
That's so cool. That's so cool. Real quick, you skipped over your name. Who are we talking to?
Oh, yes. My name is Ashley Vaughn. And I'm 24 years old. I started hunting when I was 12, and okay. I've been hunting ever since. So I have, like, quite a few stories, but, like, two really good ones, I would say.
Awesome. That's so cool. Yeah, I did not have your background. So, like, I'm the only hunter in my family. Maybe my grandfather on my mom's side, but that's more like upland birds. But I was too young. He passed before I was maybe 8. When he passed. So I never really got to, like, absorb any of that hunter stuff. So it's so cool to hear people that, like, their entire lives, not just yours, but, like, your entire family is coming from hunting. Like, your grandpa was a guide. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. What part of Wyoming?
Cody. Do you know it?
You know, I'm familiar with it. I've never been. And I just interviewed Pullin Feathers, if you know Levi, cause he's from Cody. I don't know how many people live in Cody. I'm sure it's more than 10. So you probably don't know everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a cool place. Actually, my wife and I are like mulling around the idea of possibly moving, and I was looking at Cody. So we'll talk about that later. cool. Well, Ashley, you say you've got two cool stories. So why don't you set the stage for the first one? Kind of let us know, like, when was this? What are you hunting for? What's your method of take? Whatever, you know, information you think is important to have before we kick it off.
Okay. Yeah. So this past 2 years, I haven't drawn any tags in Wyoming. So it's been really hard for me. So I've been choosing to general hunt as hard as I can. And this year I decided to general elk hunt as hard as I can. And I started archery season off. So September 1st. When it opens up, and I went every single weekend. I hiked so hard, as hard as I could, hiked up every single mountain, glassed everywhere, and saw nothing for the first 3 weeks.
Sounds familiar. Were you going solo, or were you with, like, someone else?
Yeah. So I went with my brother-in-law one time, and then I went with my husband twice for the first 3 weeks. And I was just getting so discouraged already in the third week. I was thinking that this was never going to happen. General hunting is so hard. So I went the fourth week with my cousin and my husband. And while we were coming back to the trailhead, I actually saw a really huge 6x6 bull 300 yards away from me. Yeah. Just running. And oh my goodness, I was so excited. But of course it was archery season, so we couldn't call him in, and he saw us, and he just ran.
Okay. I was going to ask you, what, he's running just because, or did you just
move
him? So
yeah, he totally saw us, ran away. And I knew, I said, if we come back there during rifle season, I knew that I would possibly be able to get one. I just had this really big gut feeling. So first weekend of rifle season comes, we don't go back to that spot. And
why?
Because we thought another spot would be better.
Okay.
And so I was super bummed out. We saw nothing. And I was like, I have to go back to this spot. So then it's the sixth weekend. I don't even know at this point.
What are the dates on the rifle season in Wyoming? I'm not familiar.
So it's after September.
Okay. So October. First week of October. Okay.
Yeah. So second weekend of rifle season, I was about to give up. I was like, I don't want to go. My husband was going up on a pack trip up on horses, and that would have been way better, but there wasn't enough horses for me to go. So I do everything on foot. So that's also another thing.
Yeah.
So I asked my brother-in-law and my other brother-in-law if they would be willing to go with me. And they were like, yeah, let's do it. And this was my brother-in-law's Josh, his first year living in Wyoming. So he finally was a resident, and this was his first Wyoming elk hunt. So I was like, it would be really cool if I could get him on an elk.
Yeah.
So he was like, yeah, let's do it. But I don't want to go to that spot that you're saying. I want to go to a different spot.
Why didn't he want to?
I don't know. I told him I saw an elk. So I say, okay, Josh, we'll go to your spot. We hike probably 100 yards. We pass a river, and instantly all my boots are completely soaked.
Oh, no.
And he wanted to hike. Yeah, I know. He wanted to hike 6 miles to where he saw elk last. And I was thinking, we're going to have to hike and pack this out on our back. This is going to be so hard, 6 miles.
Yeah.
So we pass the first river. I say, Josh, I can't do this. We have to turn back. And I think he kind of got mad, but he's like so nice that he doesn't show it. He's just a really good guy.
Yeah.
So we go back to the truck, and I say, let's just go to my spot. I've been really wanting to go to the spot. I have this gut feeling that we're going to be able to call in some elk. And he says, okay, fine, we'll go. And so I take him to the spot. We get, by this time, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, super late. And we start hiking. We take about an hour to hike up to where we're like surrounded by a cliff and some trees, and it's a perfect spot to put our Lux tent in. Gotcha. Our stove.
Okay.
So we set it all up, took us about an hour. We got all the wood in the tents because I get super cold at night. So the boys knew that they had to keep me warm. So, and then we hike another hour from our spot all the way up to the top of the ridge, and we start glassing. And I'm just looking around, we have like a perfect vantage point of so many ridges, so many miles we can see. This is like the best place ever. I'm so excited. We see nothing for a whole hour.
Oh, no. I'm just like,
I brought him here, and now I don't know if it's going to happen. So right before sundown, light is starting to go down. I'm barely starting to be able to see anything. I spot 3 different elk herds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was just like, what is going on? So one herd had about 7, and then another herd had about 5. And then another herd was kind of hidden behind like cliff area. And
was the first thing that you said to all of the brother-in-laws was just like, told you so. Told you,
yeah, right.
Because like, that's all I could think is like, why did you go to all these other spots?
I know.
But go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, I told them that so many times and they know it. So, yeah. So the third herd that I saw, that I spotted, there was a satellite bull on that herd. And I knew, I said, that's the herd we're going to go after, because there's multiple bulls. There's a herd bull and a satellite bull. We could possibly be able to get both.
Yeah.
So we were just so stoked. I was so stoked. I just couldn't even believe we saw so many elk. So we hike down the mountain. It's getting dark. We get to our camp and we start a fire, and we're just talking about like what we're going to do in the morning. Super excited. And so we go to bed, and that was probably one of the scariest nights I've slept in the mountains, because we actually camped right next to grizzly bear tracks, and that's probably not smart. Yeah, probably not smart. So yeah, I was
that, we talked about me night. Moving to Cody. That's like one of the things that I'm like, I don't know if I can handle g-bears. So
oh my gosh, yeah,
it was scary.
Yeah, we just had a big mauling. I don't know if you heard about it, but we just had a big
mauling. The wrestlers
mauling. Yeah,
yeah, that was near Cody.
Yeah, that was actually like 30 minutes from Cody, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I'm so impressed with the second guy that attacked the bear to save his friend with his bare hands. Like,
Yeah.
Insane. I need to talk to those. I need to get those guys on the podcast. I guess shed hunting counts as stories, right? So
yeah.
Go, but go ahead. Let's you were sleeping next to your grizzly bear tracks.
Yeah. So I was scared the whole entire night. And I actually got woken up a couple times because something was like going against my head, because my head was right next to the tent. And Ben, my other brother-in-law, said that he saw like legs right underneath me. He doesn't know what it was, but he didn't want to freak me out, so he didn't say anything. Like, okay, that's really scary. But so I barely slept, but I was also really excited, so that's probably why I didn't sleep as well. But we get up at 4:45 in the morning, pack up everything, and we hike down, and we get to the meadow where I wanted to set up. I knew if we set up at this meadow that we would be able to call them right in, because this is the way that they were heading. They were heading that way.
Yeah.
So we get there perfectly, 6:30 in the morning, and we're sitting there and the wind is perfect. I'm like, what? This is crazy. Like, usually not everything is like lining up. Wind's perfect. We set up right behind like a huge pile of sagebrush. So that they're actually, the sagebrush is covering us. So we even That's have awesome. Really good cover in this meadow. Yeah. It was just crazy.
It's how like a perfect natural blind. Yeah,
I know. Yeah. And I was like, okay, let's see what happens. So as soon as it turned shooting light, I said, Josh, let out a bugle and we'll see what happens. So he let out a really good bugle and I was pretty impressed. And probably about 5 seconds later, we hear a bugle right exactly where I saw them last night. They still were there. And I just was like, what is going on? We both look at each other and both of our mouths are wide open and we're just like, what? This is crazy. So I say, Josh, okay, now we're going to start cow calling. Get ready. They're going to start coming in. So I'm saying, do a couple cow calls. So he does like 3 cow calls. Instantly, they're bugling back. And it sounds like there's 2 bulls at this point. It sounds like 2 of them are answering. So this second call, I'm gauging that they're about 400 yards away in the timber. So I'm telling Josh, okay, they're going to come down through the timber and they're going to pop up right there. And when they do, they're probably going to stop because they're probably going to see us. Let's yard that and see how far that is so you can get ready. So we did it with our yard and 200 yards from where we are. And I was like, that's so good. I said, this is just, I don't know if this is going to work out, but this is going to be amazing. So he cow calls again. I'm like, cow call again. So he does another 3 times and instantly bugling back. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it sounds so close. If he's not already coming down the timber, then I don't know what's going on. So I'm just staring straight at the timber, like looking at any like slight movement in it.
Yeah.
And I instantly just see like a little brown thing moving down. And I'm like, Josh, it's right there. It's right there. And he's like, where? And I'm like, right in front of you, right in front of you. And he's like, where? I can't see it. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I said, just look, like seriously, just straight in front of us. And he's like, oh, okay, I see it. And at that point, this elk pops out of the timber, doesn't stop, just keeps coming straight for us. Doesn't even see us. And I was just like, oh my gosh. This is crazy. So he just keeps coming. I'm like, Josh, if he's going to keep coming in, just let him come in and so you can get a better shot. So he's coming in. He's probably at 150 yards. We're not cow calling or anything.
Yeah.
Still coming in. Passes 150 yards. Comes to 100 yards. And at this point, we're kind of like up a little bit and the timber's here. He's going to like go down into a little groove at 100 yards. So I tell Josh, make a small little noise so he can stop and stare at us. So he makes like kind of like a deer noise. The elk looks up, stops for 1 second and keeps coming towards us. Oh. And I'm like, make another noise, make another noise to make him stop. And at this point, we have probably have 5 seconds before he goes down into that groove and disappears. And so he makes another noise and the elk stops for 1 second and Josh just shoots, boom. Right into the front shoulder and just the bull is just out instantly. Oh,
that's awesome.
I know. And I was like, wow. good job, Josh. You got him. He's down. He's down. So I look up from at this point, because I know I was hearing two bugles. I know I was. I look up and I see another bull staring at us from the timberline, 200 yards.
No way.
Yeah, right. No way. I was like, what is... And I'm still like just shocked from the story. So I said, Josh, there's another one right there. I'm going to shoot it. Just, I was like, just wait, hang on one second. I'm going to just kind of try to calm down. So I put up my 270 and I'm just shaking from the adrenaline.
Of course.
I was like, I can't believe this is happening. And he's looking straight at me. So I do the same thing that Josh did, put it right in that front shoulder. He's kind of quartered a little bit towards us right there, 200 yards. And boom, he just drops instantly. We both just like stand up, hug each other, and we are just like, woo, can't believe that just happened.
That's amazing. Two bulls in what was like 5 seconds, 10 seconds apart.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy. That's
so crazy.
Yeah, it's never happened to me. I tell everyone the story and they're like, that's crazy on general. And I'm like, yeah, this is actually happening. They're like, that's so unheard of.
That's so crazy. It actually reminds me of another story. Are you done with yours? I don't want to catch you off.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Okay. So my the guys that I started hunting with is my brother-in-law and one of his best friends when he was a little guy. And maybe 2 years before I started hunting with them, they're hunting in Eastern Washington, just on basically general tag. So they can only kill spikes, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's Washington's not really known for its elk. So whatever, they're just happy to be out in the woods. But 1 year they were out there and they were kind of set up, if you can imagine, like cascading kind of benches. So like one guy's on a higher bench, kind of just sitting there hoping something comes by. The next guy's on the next bench down. On the top bench, two spikes roll in and it's muzzleloader season. So he probably 50 yards, knocks one down, just dead in its tracks.
Oh.
The other one runs downhill right to that next bench, and my brother-in-law pops that one. So they popped two spikes, and it was probably a little bit more time than yours, so you guys win. And you had bulls, they only had spikes, but they knocked down two spikes in a matter of probably a minute, and they packed them both out. It was a mile and a half, conveniently for them, straight downhill, so they didn't have to do too much uphill. But yeah, that's crazy. How far in were you guys when you killed yours?
We were 5 miles in on this one.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you call in an army to help you pack them out, or did the two of you get them both out?
No, yeah, we were able to get it out. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was awesome.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Great. That's a super cool story. I had another story that I wanted to tell. And this is not a hunting story, but when you said that you were like sleeping and there was the guy saw legs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bear story of mine. But again, not hunting. We're in Southern Colorado and we're camping. We're having too much to drink. We're drinking whiskey around the fire. We're eating Doritos. We're just making a mess. We're just being not good stewards of the wilderness. We're just making a mess out there, but having a good time. And we're there with probably like six or seven people, two or three different tents. Either way, we all end up having too much to drink and we all go to bed. In the middle of the night, I wake up and I'm like, all I hear is just sniffing. And it's like, oh God. And so I'm laying there with my wife and I'm like, do you hear that? She's like, yeah, I hear that. And then we hear like the bags of Doritos being rustled around. I'm like, oh God, what's happening? And I'm like, where are the car keys? Like I had a knife. I'm like, well, where's anything? And all that stuff's in the truck. Like nothing's near us. Our keys. I don't even know where my truck keys are. And we're like, oh God, there's a bear. And it's Colorado, so we're not talking grizzly bears, but still you don't want to deal with a bear either way. Yeah. So we lay there just as silent as could be. And this bear walks off and we're like, whew. Okay. Thank God. But then and we're like, okay, let's go to sleep. 5 minutes later, it comes back and we're like, oh no. Like, and just again, sniffing. I don't know if the people listening can hear me sniff into my mic or not, but I'm just sniffing and rustling of all this stuff that we left out. And it's just terrifying. Just this one of the most scared I've ever been. Either way, you can only be that scared for so long in the middle of the night, having too much to drink before you eventually do fall asleep. So I don't know if it left before or whatever, but we ended up falling back asleep. We wake up the next morning and we're like, oh God, that was so, my wife and I were like, that was so, so terrifying. We're having breakfast with everybody. We're like, did you guys hear those bears or the bear or whatever? And everyone's like, no, what are you talking about? Like we woke up in the middle of the night. There's a bear rummaging through our campsite. And one of the guys goes, what? no, really? And I'm like, yeah, really. Like, we heard him sniffling and rummaging through all of the all the stuff that we left out. Like, we did a really poor job of putting camp away at night. And he's like, man, I was up cleaning up camp because I had a stuffy nose for like an hour and I didn't see any bears. And we're like, are you kidding me?
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So apparently, like, my wife and I spent the entire night terrified out of our minds because a guy, he didn't want to wake up the people in his tent. So he just like cleaned up camp in the middle of the night with his snuffly nose. And when it walked off, he's like, yeah, I walked off and I peed and I came back. And yeah, I didn't see any bears. What are you talking about? And we're like, well, your story checks out. It's exactly what we heard. We thought you were a bear for like an hour and a half. So, but your story reminded me of that. Not a good hunting story, but a funny story nonetheless.
No, that's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right, Ashley. Well, I know that you said you have at least two good ones. Between the first one and the second one, has anything popped up since we've been talking? Any other stories you want to tell? Or do you want to jump into the second one?
No, I wish I had some grizzly bear stories, but I don't, unfortunately. But everyone that I know has grizzly bear stories. Everyone. I'm the only one who does not. They all run.
You can steal one if you want and tell us if you have a good one from a friend.
No, yeah. I mean, they're not like, they're just like encounters, I guess. There's nothing really crazy, but
wrestlers fist fighting with bears.
No, nothing like that. But I know like everyone that I know have had bear encounters, and some people won't even hunt in Cody because of the grizzly bears.
That's what Levi with Pulling Feathers was saying. Yeah. That like he hunts there because he'd rather take his chances with the bears than his chances when there's too many hunters. And I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm that brave, but he doesn't mind.
Yeah. And so I thought that too. I thought maybe the grizzly bears will kind of like keep some people away, but still every trailhead is just so packed, which is crazy. So I'll tell one other story. And this one's really good. Well, I mean, I have a couple more, but like, I really like the really good ones, I guess.
Yeah. You can tell as many as you want. We have all night.
Okay. So this next story is last year, we didn't draw any tags again. So I told my husband, let's get you a mule deer since I've been kind of hunting for a long time already. And I want to see you kill again. And it's been a little bit since you've killed. So we bought him a general mule deer tag over the counter. And we decided to go to this one trailhead that we've never tried before. We get there before, like an hour before sunrise. And there's five trailers. And
horse trailers or like RV
trailers? Horse trailers.
Oh geez.
Okay. So I know instantly I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be hard. We're gonna have to hike really, really high and really hard because the area that we went, it's just straight up both sides.
Perfect.
So yeah, I'm like, this is gonna be good. So we get out of the truck, hike about an hour, and it starts to get sunrise, and we're only half up the mountain at this point. So we keep going. Another hour, we get to the top of the mountain finally, and at that point you could like see everything around you, but a huge fog cloud came and just covered us, and just you couldn't see anything. We were just, you could see 100 yards in front of you. So I was just like, dang it. So we sat down, tried to wait it out. I was sitting there for 30 minutes. I'm super impatient. I'm just like someone
not sitting in any wallows.
Yeah, just like I have to, yeah, exactly. I have to just go. I don't know. There's just something about it. So I sit there for 30 minutes and that's like too much for me. And that's a little bit too much for him too. So he kind of just starts pacing around the area that we're sitting. And he finds these fresh deer tracks that he says, he finds these fresh deer tracks and he tells me that these were just minutes from us coming to this area. And I said, how can you tell that? I've never been taught that. I didn't know that was a thing. You can tell minutes.
Right? Like, this is maybe in the last week.
I know. That's how I am too. So he was like, no, they were literally just here. And it's a big buck. He was like, look it. And he showed me the imprint. And I was like, wow, I'm learning something new. This is pretty cool. I didn't know that you could even do this. He's like, let's track him down. And I bet we can find him.
Where did he learn that like skill set?
I have no idea.
Sign me up, right?
Yeah, I know, right? I have no idea. So that was really cool to learn that. But so he was like, okay, let's go really slow. And it's still super foggy. You can only see like 100 yards in front of us.
And are you
So
rifle or archery at this point?
rifle.
Okay.
Yeah. So we are hiking super, super slow each step and super quiet, just going really slow. We probably make it 200 yards and we kind of get into like this little groove. And I am looking out in front of me, looking everywhere to see what's gonna go on. And I see a big mule deer jumping away from us, just bouncing.
Oh, I love it when they bounce instead of run,
I
but
know.
that's still unfortunate.
I know. And I was like, oh, Tyler. And like we both just froze silent. And he was like, dang it, I knew it. And I said, oh my gosh, I don't even know how you knew, but oh, this is amazing. So we just kind of sit there for a little bit. At this point, we kind of go on top of the ridge and the fog is starting to finally roll away. And I'm like, this is perfect. I think that we could still sneak up on him. And he's like, yeah, definitely. We could definitely try to sneak up on him because he kind of went down a little bit. So we go back on his tracks, following his tracks, and we're just going really, really slow again, super slow and silent. And he's in front of me, kind of crouching down, and he kind of pops his head up. And he's like, oh, they're right there. This we probably went 200 yards from the point that we had to stop.
Real. He
And
must not have seen you. He must have just like thought there was something, like had a bad vibe.
I don't know how he didn't run, but also he was with like 10 does at this point.
Okay.
So he kind of pops up, looks, he's with 10 does and he's in the very back. And then he pops back down. He said, okay, they're about 200 yards from us. They're right there. They kind of seemed a little spooked. And I'm like, okay, let's just try to get a good shot on him. We're super close. So we sneak up a little bit more. There's a tree in front of us. And we get up there. And as soon as we get up to the tree, the doe sees us and jumps over and disappears down the ridge. And I was like, oh no. And then the next doe, and then the next doe. And then I knew instantly that they're all going to be going. But the buck was in the back, fortunately. So I said, Tyler, shoot, Tyler, try to get a shot on him. So he throws up his rifle and he's trying to get, and he said, oh my gosh, the tree's in the way. And the buck is just staring at us at this point. Perfect broadside shot, but the
Like
tree's
100
in the
yards,
way.
150 or 200 still.
This one, yeah, it's 150 probably at this point.
Okay, got it.
So he's like, the tree's in the way. And this is just like slow-mo in my mind, just seconds. And I'm like, I didn't say anything because I knew it was just a matter of seconds. So he took one big step to the right and threw up his gun again and shot. Boom. And I was just like, just kind of shocked because I didn't know if he was going to take the shot or not.
Yeah, he
And the
hit it,
deer,
right?
yeah. Oh yeah. The deer
Okay,
was
good.
running. Yeah. The deer was running away. And then he kind of drops a little bit and then he kind of gets up again. And I'm like, shoot again. So he puts up his gun again, shoots again, boom. And that one is the shot that took him down. And the deer actually kind of fell over the ridge and tumbled. And so I knew that that shot, the last shot, was a good one.
Yeah.
So we ran over to him and we found him dead 50 yards from the spot, rolled over on this super high ridge. We're just surrounded by cliffs. And at this point, you kind of just get an adrenaline rush and you just kind of follow the deer. You don't know how far you're going or where you're going. So we get him cut out, quartered out. We put him on our backs. Tyler says, let's go down this cliff area. It's going to be way faster. And I look at him and I say, no, we're gonna cliff out. I know we're gonna cliff out. And he said, no,
Yeah.
we won't. I promise we won't cliff out. It takes us. So I have half a deer on my back and it's so heavy for me. And he has more weight than I do, but it takes us an hour to get half down this ridge and we get cliffed out, just surrounded by cliffs. And so,
There's something similar about your last story, is at the point where
yeah.
you're saying, I told you so.
I know. So then we have to turn around. And at this point, it's so steep. I'm on my hands and knees
Oh, geez.
climbing up. It took us an hour and a half to get back to where we started. And then it took us 4 hours to pack out from that top of where we started from there. So we didn't
Jeez.
get back. Yeah, we didn't get back to the truck till dark. And I was trying to go as fast as I could because I knew that this area had so many grizzly bears and I did not want to be hiking with me on my back in the dark. So I pushed myself as hard as I could. We got back to the truck and it was just so rewarding to feel your physical like exertion that you put yourself through and then you make it in time. So it was a really good trip though. I had a
blast. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. That's cool. I like how like guiding is kind of in your genes, right? Like every one of your best stories are you helping other people get something, which is cool. And it's also super cool that in the first story, you got one as well, 10 seconds after your brother-in-law. So that's amazing, Ashley. That's really cool.
Thank you.
And then why don't we tell the people where they can find you?
Yeah, if you guys liked the stories that you heard today, go ahead and follow my Instagram. It's yo_free. And I post a lot of stuff about hunting and fishing and camping. And also, if you want to get 20% off pack leashes, you can use my code Wesson. And you can find all this information on my Instagram as well. And it sells everything for dogs. So yeah, go check it out.
Yeah. Awesome, Ashley. And like I mentioned to you, I'll put all that stuff in the show notes. So if you gave a lot of information there, if anyone listening wants to like follow up on any of this stuff, it's right there in the show notes. Just go click on her Instagram page. I'll even put the code for Wesson in the pack leashes and stuff. So it'll all be right there. So Ashley, again, thank you so much for joining the Hunting Stories podcast. This was great. Really appreciate it. And if you or any of your family members want to come on, let us know. We'd love that. We'd love to hear their stories.
They would actually really like that.
Yeah, I want to talk to Grandpa. That's who I want to talk
to. Oh my gosh. My grandpa would talk to you for hours.
I'm sure. I've had to cut some people off before.
Yeah.
So. All right, Ashley. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. It was really good talking to you.
Of course. Have a good one. All right, guys. That's it. Another bunch of stories in the books. I want to thank Ashley, of course, for coming on. I think the men in her life need to start listening to her because she had a bunch of I told you so's in her hunting stories, which were pretty funny. And then I want to thank you listeners for tuning in. I'm doing this for you guys. I love hearing hunting stories and I hope you do too. Please share the podcast with all your hunting buddies. Make sure that people are listening. And then of course, if you know anyone who has a great story, introduce us, connect with me, connect me with them, whatever it is. We need more hunters to tell their amazing stories. So that's it, guys. I'll also say follow Ashley on Instagram. It's yo_free. That's yo_free, F-R-E-E. And of course, if you need some pack leashes, use the code Wesson, W-E-S-S-O-N, to get 20% off. That'll help Ashley out. So again, guys, thank you again. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you, listeners. Now, everybody, get out there and make some stories of your own.